Praise God. Hallelujah. Okay, we're going to, as I said, I'm going to share, not technically a message, but I'm going to share from some scriptures this morning, and then we're going to do praise and worship at the end, and as we go through this, you will understand why, okay? This is going to be one of those get everybody out of their comfort zone messages, days, but nobody, you know, it's getting you out of your comfort zone in that drawing closer to God thing, not a, you know, it's not putting pressure on you for the sake of putting pressure on you. But we want to, you know, one of the main reasons we come to church is to meet with God. Amen. At least I hope so. That's why we're here. And so that's what this morning is going to be about, is help to hopefully train you, encourage you, challenge you to, you know, work in the right sense is, you know, entering the presence of God and seeing how easy it is, but we have to cooperate and do some things, okay? So I want to start this morning because, you know, one of the big things entering the presence of God is that, you know, is our focus. It's one of the biggest things. Now, first of all, we need to recognize if you are here this morning and you are born again, then God is in you, right? We all say, you know, God the Father, God the Son, through God the Holy Spirit is in each one of us. And then, you know, on top of that, if you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, then there's that more, there's that more, that power and stuff. So we need to recognize we don't come to, you know, sit here and wait and see if God's going to show up. Amen. You know, that's a wrong mindset. And I know personally that, you know, we've been there, you know, that we've approached it, you know, we're here and we're just, you know, when God's going to get here. But we need to recognize and renew our mind and change our thinking and recognize God is here. God is here because I'm here. God is here because you're here. God is here. We don't have to wait for God to show up. It's just we want his manifested presence. But we have some control over that, whether he will manifest his presence here, whether individually or corporately. And so that's what we're looking for this morning. Okay, back to Psalm 34. I'm going to start to look at some scriptures and read through this psalm, and you can't get any better than this. I think Psalm 34 pretty much has everything that we could want in it. So that's what we're going to start with this morning. I'm going to just read through Psalm 34. It says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. One of the keys for being in the presence of God is right there. You know, what's coming out of our mouths? Is it praise or is it complaining? You know, is it whining? Is it whatever? You know, that's here we got key one, number one is going to determine whether the presence of God is manifested in our lives personally and in the church. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. So now we have corporate. You know, it's not just an individual thing. Let's do this together. Because the more that, you know, of us together that are worshiping and praising God, the more that God has to, you know, inhabit, you know, to manifest him, okay? The more possibilities that there are for us. I sought the Lord and he heard me. You know, we need to remind ourselves, this is what God says. When we seek him, he is there. It's not, you know, I pray and God didn't hear me, or I pray and God didn't answer. No, it says, I sought the Lord, he heard me. If we seek the Lord, you know, if we go before him according to his will, then we know he hears us. And what does it tell us in 1 John? It says, if he hears us, we know we have the petitions that we desired of him. Amen. Instead of, you know, God's, it's, let's do the word. Let's pay attention. Let's get what the word says. And the word says that he's going to hear me. And he's not going to just going to hear me. He's going to deliver me from all my fears. Every fear that you're dealing with this morning, every bit of anxiety that you're dealing with, every frustration, every you know, dread that you're dealing with this morning, God, it says here, right here, God is here in you, in us together, to deliver you from every single fear you have this morning. Amen. That's what the word says. It's not me. That's what the word says. Amen. Praise God. They looked to him and were radiant. Their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried out, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. Amen. Does anybody here have trouble this morning? He says, God will deliver you from all of your troubles. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Not just once in a while, not just, you know, if you acted really special, if you read the Bible all week and you prayed for 2 hours a day and you did everything you're supposed to. No! Because he's God, because he's your Father, simply because of his love for you, because of what Jesus died, went to hell, rose again, because of what Jesus did, God will deliver us from every bit of fear, every bit of trouble. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. The angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear him and delivers him. We have protection. We're born again children of the Most High God. The angel of the Lord camps round about us. Nothing shall by any means harm us. No plague shall come near our dwelling because we're children of the Most High God. Amen. The angels surround us. Amen. Where's your focus this morning? Amen. On the terrorist or on God and the angels? Doesn't matter what happens in America or the world, we are protected because we're children of the Most High God. Amen. If you believe it, it's yours. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Oh, taste and see the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. The Lord is good. 100% of the time, the Lord is good. It's not sometimes he's good, sometimes he's bad, sometimes he's mean, sometimes he's nice, sometimes he loves me, sometimes he hates me. No, God is good, God is good, God is good, God is good, God is good. Every what does it tell St. James? Every good and perfect gift comes down from above from the Father of lights, from whom there's no shadow of turning. Praise God, he's always good. God never punishes us. God never, you know, condemns us. God never causes bad things to happen in our lives. Religion says, but that's not what the word says. It says God is good, God is good, God is good. Amen. My God is a good God. Amen. Your God is a good God. Praise God. Fear the Lord, you his saints. There is no want to those who fear him. Amen. There's no lack. There's no want when we fear the Lord. It's not I'm afraid of God, but when I respect him and honor him and look at him as who he is, Amen. My needs are all taken care of. Praise God, because I believe they are, because he said they are. The young lions lack and suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. There is no lack, there is no lack, there is no lack. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I shall not have lack, I shall not be in lack. If it looks like I have lack, well then that's just an illusion. Because the word says I have no lack, because God is my Father. Jesus paid the price for lack. I don't have the curse of poverty has been taken care of. It does not belong to me. Amen. I have no lack. Praise God. Praise God. Come, you children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Who is the man who desires life and loves many days that he may see good? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. You want to live a long life? Well, then shut up. Amen. I mean, that's just the Bible says. You open your mouth, someone's likely to hit you. Watch what comes out of our mouth. It either produces life or death. Right. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Depart from evil, do good, seek peace, and pursue it. Amen. Peace belongs to us, so that's the direction. That's what our focus needs to be. If our focus is on fear and our focus is on everything that's going wrong and this is bad, you know, just everything is getting worse. If that's where our focus is, that's what we're going to get. Amen. If we focus on peace, that's what we're going to have. Because Jesus is the Prince of Peace. Jesus is my Savior. Jesus resides in me through the Holy Spirit. So I have peace, I have peace, I have peace, I have peace. No matter what's going on, I have peace. Peace is a wonderful thing. I like it. I've had it. I've been without it. I'll take it, peace. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous and his ears are open to their cry. I am righteous. You are righteous. If you are born again, you're righteous. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, every single second, you are righteous. I don't care if you feel like you're righteous or if you feel like you're a sinner. I don't care how you feel. You are righteous, you are righteous, you are righteous. When we get a hold of that, when we get that understanding and that belief in our heart that we are righteous, our lives change. I don't sin because I'm righteous. I have no desire to sin because I'm righteous. I'm a child of the Most High God. I just want to love and please him because I recognize what Jesus did for me. He paid the price for me. So I am righteous. I am pure. I am holy. I am without sin before him because I have been forgiven. I was forgiven 2,000 years ago. So I'm living and walking in that forgiveness. Praise God. Hallelujah. See, it's easy to praise God when you understand who God is and who you are. Praise God. Hallelujah. Whoops. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. Once again, amen. All their troubles. Amen. The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart and save such as have a contrite spirit. What does it say? Jesus came to heal the brokenhearted. I have come to heal the brokenhearted. You have come to heal the brokenhearted simply because you're in Christ and Christ is in you. So whatever Jesus was called to do, you are called to do. Amen. So if I have a broken heart, then Jesus is here to heal me. As others have broken hearts, I am anointed a minister of the Most High God, just like every single one of you, to go around healing the brokenhearted. Amen. Not causing them to be brokenhearted, to heal the broken hearts. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. So in other words, yes, we're going to have problems. Life is not going to always be easy. But you know what? When we walk in peace and joy, then life gets a whole lot easier than when we're in fear and, turmoil and lack of peace. But it doesn't matter what's going on. It says God, through Jesus Christ, delivers us out of every single one. If we do the other stuff. Praise God. And it's not that he won't deliver us. It's just we can't believe that he will. See, God doesn't say, okay, you blew it. You're on your own on this time. No. It's totally tied into what I can believe. If I can believe it, Jesus paid the price for it, then I can have it. It's mine. I'm supposed to be walking in it. Praise God. He guards all his bones. Not one of them is broken. Christians should not break a bone. If you're born again, you should never break a bone. You should never break a hip. You should never, you should never fall and, be concerned when we're older, falling and breaking a bone. We should not break a bone. Why? Because the Bible says, if you're righteous, no broken bones. But what do you believe? Well, that doesn't really apply. Well, okay, you don't believe the word. It flat out says, no broken bones. At least in my Bible. Somebody have a Bible says, no, when you're older, sorry, you got to watch the hips, the shoulders, whatever. It says no broken bones. Amen. That's part of my confession. I will never break a bone. Yeah. Amen. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Evil shall slay the wicked, and those who hate the righteous shall be condemned. We don't have to. We don't have to. That's right. It's not our job. Amen. God will deal with it. The Lord redeems the soul of his servants, and none of those who trust in him shall be condemned. No condemnation. There is no condemnation. If you feel condemned this morning, it's you're doing it. Because God is not condemning you. Jesus is not condemning you. The Holy Spirit is not condemning you. I'm not condemning you. If you have condemnation, it's because you are condemning yourself. If you're condemning yourself, then you can stop condemning yourself. Because God's not doing it. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, I'm excited already. Praise God. So, I want to go back a little bit. In verse 3, remember it says, oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. Magnify. We cannot make God any bigger. God is as big as he will ever be. But what this is talking about is how big is God in your eyes? How big is God in your heart? Are you once again coming to church and just going through the motions? This is what I'm supposed to do on Sunday morning. Life just keeps getting worse. Nothing works. I'm a Christian, yada, yada, yada. Or do you actually believe who God is? That God is good. God is all powerful, all knowledge, all wisdom. God is the creator of all things. If it hasn't been created yet, he didn't stop being the creator. He still creates. But what do we believe? Where do we focus? What are we magnifying in our lives? Are we magnifying God or are we magnifying, the natural? Our choice. John 4, 23-24. So Jesus is talking about, it's the woman at the well, right? That's the story that this is. And it says here that, but the hour is coming and now is when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit. Those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. Okay, a couple things here. Now, I didn't study it out enough to know if I'm exactly right, but to me, dear, the spirit, one of the things I could say is worshiping, if we say God is spirit, worshiping is spirit, is in the Holy Spirit. One way of looking at it, right? Okay. So that's one of the things, you know, sometimes, you know, when you go before God, and it's just, you know, you run out of your English praise, you run out of, what do I say? And then if you just go over and go in tongues. Because you're always speaking the will of God. You're always praising and exalting God when we speak in tongues. We're always in the spirit. When we speak in tongues, you can guarantee 100% of the time. You know, I'm in the flesh, I'm in the spirit. When we speak in tongues, we're always in the spirit. So that's something that we can do. Worshiping in the spirit. Another thing, what I want you to see is that word worship, in all, every word, every time worship is mentioned in the scripture, and I don't, you know, don't know the significance of this, but every one of those words, worship, means kneel. Which, I'm sure there's significance to that, because God never puts anything in that doesn't have significance to it, but I don't know the significance of it. But that's one of the ways of worshiping, is kneeling. And then the other thing it says, in truth. Now, in truth means reality. But, you know, what we think reality is and what it actually is, I think a lot of times is we're not accurate in our thinking. Because what we're talking about, reality, if you want to know what reality really is how God sees things. That's the only reality there is. It's not how I look at things. It's not how you look at things. Because what the phrase is, my perception is my reality. I see things based on everything that is in me, all of my past, and that's how I look at life. A lot of how I look at life is wrong. A lot of how you look at life is wrong. But if we always go back to the Word and see how God looks at life, then we know we're in reality. So what we were just doing, going through Psalm 34, and we're going through all these scriptures, and this is what God says, and this is how God looks, and this is what God will do, that's reality. And if we sit there and think, well, that's not my experience, you know, that doesn't work in my life. Well, I don't care whether it works in your life or not. It's still truth. It's still what God says. It's still reality. And that's what we have to focus on when we're going into praise and worship. Whatever's been going on in my life. No, you know, this is, you know, we'll get into the put off, put on. But, you know, this is not God. So I am going to repent, which means change my mind. And I am going to cast off what my reality is. And I am going to put on God's reality, is, whether I feel like it or not. Whether my life looks totally 100% opposite to what God says, God still is right and I am wrong. As long as I think I'm right, I am headed for pain, I'm headed for sickness, I'm headed for everything negative. But when I agree with what God says and start believing what God says, then my reality will change, start lining up with His reality. As my reality lines up with His reality, then I have a much happier, much more successful, much more prosperous, much more healthy life. But once again, it's my choice. You know, we sit here week after week. Do we do anything during the week? Do we spend time with God during the week? We may pray. We may read the Word. But do we actually spend time in the presence of God during the week? If we don't, then it's going to be a lot harder to change our beliefs. Because the only way to change your belief is, you know, what we're working on this morning here. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. One of the things that, you know, we're talking about, my perception is my reality. Just think of it this way. If you're standing at the top of a hill, and a car comes by you and starts going down the hill. Now, and somebody else is at the bottom of the hill. Your perception, as you're at the top of the hill looking at the car, and the person at the bottom of the hill looking at the car, both what they're seeing is reality, but their perception is totally different. I'm at the top of the hill, the car is going away from me. I'm at the bottom of the hill, the car is coming at me. You're both seeing the same thing, but your perception is different. So each person's reality is different. Because it's not reality as it is, it's as we perceive it. How many times do you hear, you know, 10 witnesses look at the same thing and see something totally different? My perception is my reality. Okay, praise God, praise God. The actual physical, you know, Wayne has talked numerous times over the years about the different words for praise, the Hebrew words for praise, and I'm not going to go through and go all them because you know, for the most part, you guys have been here a long time, and so you know the things we do during praise and worship, it's based on Scripture. you know. It's, you know, raising our hands, you know. If you, when you look up in the, you know, you look up, bowing, dancing, kneeling, all the different ways that we praise God. You know, it's amazing, you know, things that I have been learning over this past year is that all of those, they do something. It's not just a spiritual thing. It actually changes our brain waves. When we, rocking. You know, we don't see it as much anymore. It used to be if you go to a conference, you know, and you'd be behind a bunch of people, everybody would be going back and forth. You know, that actually does something to your brain waves. Looking up lowers, you know, slows your brain waves. Closing your eyes slows your brain waves. It brings it into the alpha state, which is the alpha state of our brain, is the relaxation state. To actually meditate and get into the presence of God, we need to be relaxed to enter meditation. As we enter meditation, then we can go and enter into the presence of God. If you are full of stress and you're thinking of everything under the sun, you will not enter the presence of God. You may lie to yourself and deceive yourself and think, I'm in the presence of God. But if your mind is going 16 directions and all you're concerned, it takes effort. Amen. To slow down. Amen. And enter the presence of God. But we can do it. Like I said, God said, you do this, you do this. You know, it's amazing. The more that science is coming out with, the more it is backing up the Word of God. Amen. Exactly. Not this, you know, yeah, this means this, but it really means this. No, exactly. God's smart. Amen. Praise God. So that's what, you know, that's one of the reasons why, you know, I was thinking when I was going through this, you know, bowing is one of them. And thinking, does anybody know what the name of the yoga pose is? There's a yoga pose where you get down on your, you know, on your face and you put your head down. What? Child's pose? Is that what it's called? I just know there is one. You know, when I was reading this, you know, about the bowing, the worship being bowing, you know, that's one of the things it said is that's, I think Persian and something else was where one of the things where this came from. And I'm not going to do it because I'll have trouble getting back up at this point. But, you know, you get down, your lower legs are flat on the floor, and you actually are, you know, bowing, you know, totally on the ground. And that's, you know, yoga. What's yoga about? Yoga's about relaxation. God knows what he's talking about. If the only way that you can shut the world out and focus is to get down on your knees and get into that yoga pose, well, do it. You have to find what works for you, and that's what we do. You know, we in Christian circles, the word yoga has, we have all these demonic connotations. Do you know the Eastern medicine, we have to... And I had to do this because I was raised Assembly of God, man. You don't touch that stuff. You just... But if you look at, there's so much now that is being used in medicine, and it's not a religious thing. It's a scientific thing. It actually works, and these people have been practicing this for thousands of years. And Western medicine, we don't have time to get all this into this stuff. But, you know, if there's no scripture against it and it's not a religious thing that we're doing... then we need to start considering some stuff. And that's one of these things. You know, we look at, you know, a lot of Christians look at meditation. You know, that's Eastern. We don't do that. God's word talks about meditation. It's where it came from. If you see anything that works, it's in the word. Whether you can find it or not, I guarantee you, I don't care who's doing it, from the east to the west, if it works, it's in the word. Praise God. Okay. Isaiah 40, verse 31. Another familiar scripture, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. That word renewing is about exchanging strength. My weakness for his strength. The word waiting upon the Lord is not just, okay, I'm sitting. Hoo, 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 hoo. Okay, God. Okay, I have 5 minutes, God. Shh, shh, come on, God. Hurry up. I don't have much time. I've got stuff I've got to do. Shh, shh. That's not waiting on the Lord. That's it. Waiting on the Lord is about focus. It's about entwining myself with him. It's about being in his presence and having the revelation, Christ in me and I'm in him. And you know what? You can actually do that. I'm doing it on a daily basis. You can actually feel it. Yes. Yes. I have a physical manifestation of it. You want your life to change? That's where we get to. We have to have, you know, the actual in the presence, having that exchange, strength for strength. And that's what praise and worship is supposed to be. It's not supposed to be a song service. It's not supposed to be an emotional high. It's supposed to be about a heart thing. Praise God. Hallelujah. Strength, that renewing your strength, you know, looking up the definition of that is human strength, but it's also talking about the power of God. If you don't want, you know, if the power of God is not a manifestation in your life, well, then maybe you better focus on the scripture. Because that's one of the things when we're renewing our strength, it's not just our physical strength, it's the power of God is rising up within us. We're magnifying what God is on the inside instead of what's the natural on the outside. That's what's going on. It's not just going through the motion. It's not just this religious experience. At least it's not supposed to be. But so much of what we've done is just religion. Biblical meditation, I found this definition, and this is what he calls it, is when you think about, ponder, imagine, or consider any biblical promise until you have all the emotions of it being true at this moment. You know, we've taught for years, you know, it's mutter and you keep saying the scripture over and over again. And there's some, you know, there's an element of that's going to help, you know, renew your mind. But that's not really meditation. There's more depth to meditation. And we think, you know, well, I can't do that. Well, let me tell you, you're doing this all the time. Let's take out the Bible part. Whatever you think about, ponder, imagine, or consider until you have all the emotions of it being true at this moment. Now, I'm not going to ask for a showing of hands, but if you're 50 years or older, I guarantee that you have had a pain somewhere, and you have meditated, and you've killed yourself off within 5 minutes. Because, okay, it's going to be this disease. I know, you know, it's, you know, it's, this is, you know, okay, boy, that, yeah, I think I have that. And then, especially if you Google it, oh, yeah, yeah. You ever go to Symptom Checker? Yeah. Oh, yeah, and my father and my uncle, and I just heard, just so-and-so just said, you know, they, yeah, I guarantee it. Now, when you're younger, or if you're my husband, you sit there and you imagine that the Yankees are playing, and they are down, and they need, you know, it's like a tie, and so they need a new pitcher, and so they come and take this totally unknown person who happens to be my husband, and they call him in to pitch the final inning of the game, and he pitches, and of course he wins the game. That's meditation, using your imagination. Every single one of us have used our imagination. We have meditated until we felt emotions. Now, some of it may be good, and some of it maybe have been bad, that you had meditation on the wrong things. But don't say you can't meditate. You know how to meditate. The problem is we meditate on the wrong things. Our focus is on the natural. Our focus is on everything that can go wrong. Our focus is on all the bad stuff, you know. How many times, you know, just caught myself doing this. And I don't remember what set it off. But being out walking and having some guy stop in the car, because I walk every day. So have somebody stop in the car. You know, you've heard so many stories about the kidnapping and then you never see the person again. And so caught myself going through that one. Don't sit there like you're so innocent and you don't, oh, come on. Good Lord, you're alive. I guarantee you've had the same kind of things. But the problem is, that's where our focus is. That's what we allow our meditation to be. You know, if we're sick, we imagine ourselves getting worse. We, you know, never getting better. You know, well, I'm getting older, so this is going to happen. This is going to, you know, my parents died. You know, my father died early from this. We do it all the time. The thing is, it's contrary to the Word of God. And then we wonder why our lives are the way they are. Because we believe in our hearts the things that are not true. The problem is we refuse to change. We refuse to repent. You know, we've talked about before, repenting is just saying, recognizing and changing my mind. Recognizing, God, that is the most stupid thing. That is so contrary to what you have said about me. I cast that off. I send that away. That's not who I am, because I'm a child of God. And renewing our mind and start speaking those things that God says. And it takes some work. But it said, you know, what does Hebrews tell us? When we get into that state, then we enter into rest. And when we're in rest, that means we're at peace. And it's not like nothing goes wrong. It's that I'm up here and everything going wrong is down here. And does it affect me? Yeah, but minimally. Amen. Because I see the answer. You know what, God? Amen. You've taken care of me before. It's going to happen again. I may not know how, but it's going to happen again. Because the Lord is my shepherd and I'm in no want whatsoever. Praise God, praise God, praise God. So where is your focus? Galatians 5:16 says, walk in the Spirit, you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. How does that happen? By what we're focusing on. If we're focusing on the natural and we're focusing on my way of doing, of living life, well then we're going to be living in the flesh. It's going to happen. If we're focusing on God and spending time in His presence, then we're going to be focusing and then we're going to walk in the Spirit. And it's going to be an automatic thing. It's not, okay, I've got to walk, I've got to do this. I've got to walk in the Spirit. I've got to walk in the Spirit. You know, no, it's because this is who I am. I walk in the Spirit because I am a child of God. I am a disciple of God. I am righteous. You know, there's... Some of you are Americans. Some of you are have a background of an African-American. Some of you are Irish. I'm Irish. So that's who I am. Yeah. It's not that it makes me good, bad, indifferent. Some of you are German. You know, whatever you may be, that's who I am. I'm a girl. Wayne's a boy. That's who I am. Well, it should be the same. And so I live my life because I'm a girl. I live my life a certain way just because I'm a girl. And that's how it's supposed to be. Amen. I'm a child of God. Amen. It's who I am. So I live my life as a child of God. I don't have to have a list to check off. This is who I am. Amen. I walk in love because I am love. Because God is in me. So I am love. I don't have to work at it. I don't have to do 16,000 confessions to get me to walk in love. Oh yeah, I'm supposed to be kind. No, I am. Praise God. Hallelujah. Ephesians 4:22-24, you're going to get this scripture because it's going to just keep using it. That you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. What are we supposed to do? We're supposed to put off the old, renew our minds, and then put on the new. Put off. What do I do? Okay, you're sitting here this morning, you have this feeling, you have this thought that keeps coming to you, you have some kind of physical symptom, something's going on that is contrary to what we have been speaking this morning, contrary to what God has says about you. So what do? I just speak to it. I tell it things like, I don't want you. You don't serve a purpose in my life. You're not a God, not from God, and I send you away. It's that simple. If it shows up again, I do it again. And then when I do that, I put off first. And then hopefully in my mind, you know, comes what God says. If it doesn't, well, then I've got some more work to do renewing my mind. Because I have nothing to put on if I don't know what I'm supposed to put on. I may know, okay, this isn't God, but I don't know what is. Well, then that's why, one of the big reasons why we read the Word. We read the Word to renew our minds. Amen. Amen. That's the only way we're going to know what God has for us is if we renew our minds. Amen. And so when I know what God says instead, I put that on. God, this is what you say about me. Jesus paid the price for this. This is who I am because I am a child, because I am righteous, because I am a... This is who I am. I am healthy. I am wealthy. I am wise because I have the mind of Christ. Amen. You know, I am whatever. Applies. And then, you know, an hour later, we find ourselves in the wrong, in the bad spot again. Well, I do it again. And I keep on doing it until this is who I am. I don't have to put off anymore because this is who I am. I have put that on. That is who I am. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You guys can get up there. Acts 1:8, last scripture, says, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. If you are baptized in the Holy Spirit, how many are baptized in the Holy Spirit? Raise your hands. 2/3 of us anyhow. When you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, that's what this scripture is talking about. You shall receive power. That power is the dunamis power. That is the power of God. This is the power that is within you. And this is why I'm reading this scripture, is because this is the area, if you don't can't think of anything else to meditate on this morning as we're going through this, to think about this, because this is who you are. Dunamis power, strength, ability. Inherent power, power residing in a thing by virtue of its nature or which a person or thing exerts and puts forth. In other words, the power is in me. Power of God is in me. I can be having the worst day of my life. The power of God is still in me. Amen. If I'm born again, the power of God is in me. Amen. So it's in me. The power for performing miracles. Why isn't there any miracles? Because I don't have the power of God in manifestation in me. The same thing is true. Every single one of you have the power of God in you to perform miracles. Amen. You are as Jesus is, so are you in this world. So don't say, you know, no, it's every single one of us. Every teenager, you have the power of God in you if you're born again. I don't care how young you are. I don't care how old you are. When we recognize the power of God, now, do I just go around performing miracles? It's as the Spirit wills. But I need to be ready instead of saying, I would never perform a miracle. That God would never use me. Oh, no, that's for the preacher. That's for, you know, that's for Benny Hinn. That's for Catherine Coleman. No, every single one of us, the days that we live in, it belongs to every single one of us. We need to get a hold of that. Amen. Praise God. Moral power and excellence of soul. That power is for character building. Every single one of us should have character. We should be people of integrity, of honesty, of dependability, that we endure, that we're strong. You know, this is who we character. We should be a testimony to the world. There is so little character, so little character in government, so little character in business, so little character in entertainment, so little character in society. We will stand out simply because we have character. That's what the power is for. Praise God. The power and influence which belongs to riches and wealth. Ha! Huh. The church is supposed to be influencers. Because we're supposed to be a testimony to the wealth and goodness of God. We shouldn't be having to have lawn sales to pay for our roof. Every single one of us. The power of God is, if we believe that power is in us, if we believe that God has given us the power to get wealth, then our lives should be different a year from now than they are now, financially. It's what you believe. If you believe this is who you are, then money comes to you. If you don't believe, then money goes away from you. That's the truth. That power is what's in us. Praise God. So we're going to come to the point of where you're going to start doing something. We're going to do praise and worship. And so this is what, you know, and the containers are up here as you, you know, get in the presence of God, or before you do, you know, bring your tithes and offerings. But this is basically what I want you to do. Number one, get comfortable. If you're more comfortable standing, then stand. If you're more comfortable sitting, then sit. If you're more comfortable kneeling, then kneel. Bowing, you know, laying down, dancing around, whatever. Where are you comfortable that you can focus on God? It's not, you know, comfortable because, you know, I really don't care. No, it's comfortable because I don't want to be thinking about any physical distractions. I want to be able to focus on God. So get comfortable. And then do something physical. In other words, you know, do something of praise and worship that is going to help you have your alpha wave, you know, the brain wave slow down to enter the alpha state so you can, once again, when you're relaxed, then it's easier to enter the presence of God. you know, we've heard the stories and I've done it, you know, prayed for 4 hours before and then enter the presence of God. When it's all about because my I am not in a relaxed state, so I am focusing still on the stress and what's going on in life, where now it happens a whole lot quicker as I've learned how to do that. Amen. So, you know, stand up, sit down, you know, as we said, rock, looking up, closing your eyes. How many, every single one of you can close your eyes and just pretend there's nobody here. And nobody will even, unless you snore, no one will know whether you're sleeping or not. But it will help you to enter this state. Amen. Praise God. So as I said, whatever you need to do, but do something. You know, make an effort to do this. And put off, put on. You know, as you enter praise and worship, and if it, once again, if there's anything contrary going on in your head, any feeling that you have that is contrary to what God says, send it away. Just speak it out, send it away. You just, you know, you don't have to do it loud. You can just do it whisper, you know, go to the corner of the room or whatever, you know, concerned about somebody hearing you. But just send it away. Put it off. And put on all the stuff we've been talking about this morning. You know, if there's just one phrase that stuck out to you this morning, well, just start thinking about that. You know, whether you sing, you know, if singing helps you to enter, you know, and when we do praise and worship, you're supposed to be thinking about the words. To just sing a song is totally useless as far as entering God's presence. When you sing a song, or even if you're listening, listen to the words. We work very diligently to do songs that have the word of God. That are not just about me or not just some religious thing, but about what who God is and what God says and who I am. That's what our focus is supposed to be. So focus on Him. Whatever you're doing this morning, focus on Him. Amen. And then as we do that, you know, what's gonna happen this morning? I don't know. But I do know for me, I don't care what's going on in a service, when I do this, presence of God manifests in me. Amen. So we may end up, we may have the presence of God manifest corporately. How would that happen? I don't know. It doesn't matter. I just want to be in the presence of God. I want my life to be changed more into the image of Jesus Christ. So it can be, you know, it can be peaceful. It can be, who knows, exciting. I don't know. Your focus is for you to get with you and God, and for you to allow God to minister to you and you to minister to God. And it doesn't really matter what anybody else is doing. It's an individual thing. It's between me and God. And as I enter His presence, the more of us that enter His presence, then the more it's a corporate thing, and the more the manifestation is more likely to happen on the outside. Praise God. Everybody got it? Praise God. Let's do it.